go ahead.
All right, I'm going to read a little something here. This is from American Patriot. I thought it was good. Before we start the teaching, this is Wednesday, 10/23/24. I will put this in perspective. In 2020, the U.S. military recorded your vote overwhelmingly for the current president, Donald John Trump. When Trump left office, continuity of government was put into place, and the law of the land has been under military occupation ever since. When that election was stolen, they now face U.S. military tribunals instead of a corrupt maritime judicial system of the bar. I have put things out there from the start of this moment to have you search instead of directly telling you. Because one's mind cannot handle truths in an individual matter one will have to deal with. The seals were broken. The reason why I brought this is because when I started bringing out Revelation, you know, I talked about the unveiling of the seals is what we've been going through, what we've been seeing. The seals were broken, the book of Revelation. In the form of 500K plus indictments, judgment day has come. They are not in the book of life. They have been prosecuted and the rest will be judged the same. But you are in the book of life. Remember these moments. There will be a time to reflect later and now what you brought and know what you brought to God's table. So I thought that was encouraging. Somebody actually seeing it that way. American Patriot. Okay. Yeah, I was looking at something today, and it's talking about the Menendez brothers. You remember them?
Oh, yeah.
They killed their parents, and so they, was it in the 90s?
I think so.
Well, the thing was, they were using them, you know, they were trafficking them, and they were being, you know, raped and stuff. Well, the music industry is very, very corrupt, and it's fixing to go down big time, especially RCA Records. Whole list of stuff. And there's a bunch of people indicated. Mariah Carey, J-Lo. I mean, all these kids, all these that were kids have been trafficked. All of them. It's a big corrupt industry and it's about to hit the fan. So just get ready for it.
Tyler Perry was indicted.
Who?
Tyler Perry was arrested.
He was? Why?
For this.
For pedophilia?
Yeah, sex trafficking.
Who?
Tyler Perry, you know, Medina?
No,
no, he always picked him. He said, there's something not right about him.
Yeah.
Well, he's an Oprah fan, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Well, it's coming out.
Yeah, it is.
All these industries. I've read in Revelation about all that, you know, Babylon's fallen. Talks about you won't hear any trumpeters or musicians anymore. Because that's what's happening. All right. We're going to look at keeping your head in the game today. Keeping your head in the game. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 9. Sometimes that's the most difficult thing for us to do. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So what are we talking about here? Right here, the enemy uses this tactic to get us to look back. Get off our track. You know, God says, okay, I've set before you your commission or whatever he wants you to do. He says, I want you to do this. What does the enemy do? He tries to turn our head from those circumstances and get us off track. Okay, we can't plow our field. That's what I mean by we have to keep our head in the game. We cannot let what the enemy brings against us deter us from staying on the straight and narrow, looking ahead, doing what the Lord said, right? Okay. Peter said this. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. This comforted me this morning when I read it, when the Lord began to bring this, because I didn't have anything, because I had TV shoots this week, and I'm just kind of just, And so I said, Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to bring? And this is what he wanted me to bring. This is 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do you humble yourself? You submit what you think to what he thinks, right? Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares. See, that's what gets us off. We care. We think, God, there's no way I can do that. I can't do that. That's not possible. Let me keep going. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's not a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in all the world. In other words, we're all in the same boat, following the Lord. The enemy's come to get us off our track. Everyone has seen the trouble you've seen. Every one of us are going through things that sometimes every day you have to say, Lord, I can't do this. How am I going to do this? Then you have to think, well, he told me he'd give me grace to do this. Is it sufficient? I believe so. The enemy targets us to get us off of our course. 1 Peter 1:13. Just a few pages over. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we submit to what the Lord wants, then we can draw upon the grace for what he has before us. Now, the thing about grace, you don't heap it up and have just a bunch for something. You have to depend on it every day. It's like it's new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. It's an everyday thing. When you get ready to run your race, Lord, I call upon your grace today. How am I going to do this today? I don't even want to leave the house today, but I got to go do all this. Yesterday after our shoot, we had to go stand in a line for an hour and a half just to vote. And I'm going, the grace of God was there because I did all right, because I was just, my tail was dragging. But I thought, we got to go vote. We got to get this done. All right. Right here, gird. Gird is the hip or procreative power. Now I want to put this to you, and I know for sure, pain is a thought. It is a thought. Okay. Satan's objective is to possess your mind. He wants to take possession of your mind and keep you in thoughts of care and dread and fear and anything saying that there's no way you can do this. Mm-hmm. But the weapons of our warfare are what? Well, they're meant for the mind. They are weapons to help with your thought processes. That was Jesus' biggest thing with the Pharisees and Sadducees, their evil thoughts. Okay, we're going to look at that. Y'all know this. 2 Corinthians 10. Sometimes we just need a refresher. We cannot say, Lord, I just can't do this. He'll say, well, when you need the grace will be there. Call upon it. I've had him do it for me time and time and time and time again. I'd look back and think, Lord, you really were there. That's really amazing. You really were there. Okay. 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. What kind of imaginations? The devil telling you, you can't do it. Vain imaginations. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, God says you can. He says you're more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe it? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, it goes directly against the Word of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, saying, oh, heck no. The Lord already told me this is a done deal. He told me he would do it. See, we have to gird up our minds. We have to be watchful all the time. All right. Ephesians 6:10. The armor of God is for the mind. We're just going to read 10 through 14 here. All right, you want to be strong in the Lord? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Like a wily coyote, he's always trying to trick the roadrunner, isn't he? And guess what? The roadrunner always outsmarts the wily coyote. Well, Jesus already outsmarted the devil for us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Like, oh no, you ain't got no right here. You don't have any right here. The Word says you have no right here. It's not rocket science. It is fact that God has already done it all and he has sat down. Jesus did his works and he is also seated and at rest. But not just them, but us also. Aren't we seated with him? We may not act like it, but we are seated with him. This is Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's that? That's your mindset right there. You're not physically seated, you're mentally seated. We can also enter the rest of God knowing this fact. This will help you submit to God and resist the devil and his false evidence that appears real to you. Like I said, he's sneaky. And so he tries to put one in on over you so you do not react the right way. Get you off course. That's his objective. That's his only objective. He's already lost. Okay, James 4. Like I said, I'm not bringing you anything new. Just a refresher, a reminder of just how powerful what we have been given is over the evil one. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. How do you draw nigh to God? Well, his word. God's word is his will. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Right here, submit means to subordinate or to obey. Resist means to stand against or oppose. Don't just lay down, waffle, and let him run all over you. Paul was a seasoned warrior. He shook off the viper and suffered no harm. Let's go read it. He hadn't changed. He had lots of opportunities to learn this. He lists all the things he went through to learn this. Okay, 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now in the kingdom of God, there is nothing that harms or hurts. Paul had a revelation of that. See, when evil's eradicated, there is no harm or hurt. And if Paul could shake this off and suffer no harm, that tells you no hurt. But you have to know that to do that. You have to be convinced, fully persuaded. Like Abraham and Sarah. They can't even have babies at 90 today through all their vast knowledge and technology. Thank you, Lord. It's pretty awesome what we have. But Satan will play those mind games with you to try to get you convinced that he's more powerful than God, and he is not. It's just learning to stand like a well-seasoned warrior and say, uh-uh. That's what resisting is, saying, not today, fool. We're not doing it today or any other day. All right. We do not have to melt like a snowman in heat. Just be a puddle every day because of what the devil's doing. Satan targets the mind because it is the production center. That's why he targeted the man and the woman in the garden. He has not changed his tactics. They had the privilege to be made in the image and likeness of God like we are through the new birth, and they could create just like God. And so he wants to create the world in his image. So he goes to sabotage. That's the seed war that's going on. He got pretty far in the game, didn't he? But it's all fixing to be exposed, and it's all fixing to come out. Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, hand to the plow. Eyes right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Paul said, I have a goal. The prize, a high prize that I'm looking at to attain. He kept his eyes on that prize. And we have to, too. We have to keep our eyes on what God has said. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? If the devil can get a hold of your thoughts, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Okay. Let me look. Right here, this is Matthew 15:19. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but just this. It may be that scripture. I'm not sure. Matthew 15:19. Yes, for out of the heart here is the thoughts or feelings or mind. For out of the thoughts, the feelings or the mind proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. See, the world doesn't know how they've been deceived. But Satan raised up all his industries to take care of it, so we don't know the truth. That's been the biggest sabotage. Yeah. All right, y'all. We can do it. Right here. Here is the difference between a mature believer and a novice. This is 1 Timothy 3:6. There comes a time the Lord expects us to not waffle every little new thing that hits us. Right here, talking about leadership. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. That's immaturity. A novice is newly planted or a young convert, young in the Lord, not like a John Mark, you know, it got so hot in the kitchen he had to get out. Yeah. Of course, the enemy will say to you that you can't win. The truth is that you have already won. He just plays his mind games. We already know we've won. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he's made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Defeated at Calvary. He portrays himself as a roaring lion, but his teeth have been removed. He's just a big old cat, kitty. Depending on your response, that's the only way he can gain any power. Okay, just as Paul had grace against the thorn in the flesh, so do we. We have the grace against our thorn, whatever that may be. That's an entity. That's a demonic entity. That's something that harasses you and bothers you. Okay. We have the grace to overcome just like he did. It wasn't because Paul was an apostle and he had more grace than anybody else. That's a fallacy. Wherever you are and whatever you have to do, you have the grace to go with it. Let's go read it. 2 Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 7 there. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. I mean, it was so severe, three times. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There he got to the place he could say this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I don't think I'm there yet. Not at all. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The point is that God doesn't want you being strong in yourself. That's how you got in the mess you're in. All of us are in the mess we're in because trying to do things our own way, thinking we have the answers and they just don't pan out. No, he wants us to be that we're drawn on his grace And he's able to help us do his plan, his will. And we get opposition because of it. That path, it's in the Amplified. It talks about how that path, the broad path, you know, it's just easy going. But that one that's straight and narrow, it's compressed or compacted with pressure. Yeah. Just things are nipping at you. Yeah. I mean, if whatever is coming against you is contrary to the Word of God, do not believe it. Resist it and it will eventually go away. It will. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Do not allow it to keep you from moving forward. It's not easy when you have things that are blatantly in your face to just walk like they're not. Call those things to be not as though they were. That's not easy, but it's doable. Do not allow it to keep you from moving forward. Resist the lie that the devil's telling you, I can't. The Lord says, I can. You can. For grace will be provided for you to do so. This is 2 Corinthians 2:14. It's our last scripture. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. How many times? Once in a while? Always. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Triumph means to conquer, to give victory. Just keep on plowing your row and grace will come along to help you do it. That is, if you're acting on the word, not having a meltdown. Okay? Y'all get it?